What's going on, podcast? This is episode 3 of What's the Problem? Today, we're coming to you live from the Vegan Food House. I believe that's what it is.
Vegan Food House.
Yes. Yeah, the Vegan Food House over here in Dallas, Texas. And I got some amazing food. Y'all come check it out. And I'm here with one of my longer time friends. And I've known her for going on, what, 4 or 6 years?
About five or six years,
and we met at Sam Houston State. We were both enjoying the lavish college life out in Huntsville, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're from Huntsville, if you've been to Sam Houston State, you know exactly what life I'm talking about. She's one of the more influential individuals in my life. She's shared a lot of messages with me that have helped me in my day to day, and that's kind of what this podcast is all about, getting those messages out to the average consumer of content. So, she's also one of the more influential veganism promoters that I've ever come across. And y'all know I've been out to LA, I've done all that stuff, but her message really does sit heavily with me and with a lot of other people. So I wanted to take this time to really let y'all get to know the wonderful, the beautiful Aloria.
Hi, cheers, claps, pew now.
love it.
What's up? Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm honored. And so I want to jump it off before we even get into anything podcast, like with your superhero name, story, so that everybody knows what I know you as, what you're known as, what your kids know you as, all that.
All right, so I got a couple different things going on here. First and foremost, Chaslyn is like the OG name. If you go to my Instagram.
I was just about to say, plug your Instagram.
My Instagram is A-L-L-O-R-H-I-A, which is Aloria, which comes from my middle name, Alorian. Now, if you go, you'll see that my name is also Euphoria on there. And for my kids, if you hear this, yes, I give you credit for giving me this name. When they're in my class, they tend to feel euphoric, and they're like, oh my gosh, Aloria, Euphoria. You make us feel euphoric. Can we call you Miss Euphoria? Of course you can. Oh my gosh, we're your Euphorias.
That's awesome.
My gosh, so cute. Best moment of my life. I love you all.
Awesome.
And so now, I had to figure out, what do I want to portray myself as to this world that I live in? And Aloria resonates. It's kind of like my Jedi rebel master name.
As you have the Jedi hoodie on today.
As I have my Jedi hoodie on today. That is what resonates. And so I come to you as Aloria.
Nice. All right, so now that we kick that off, why don't you give everyone a little bit of background just on who you are and what where you are mentally right now, and then we'll get kind of into dance and everything else after that.
Okay. So your girl's been through and back some things. Lots of childhood healing from childhood trauma. Lots of healing in general from different conditionings of the outside world. And so I've been on this journey and this process of deconditioning myself, learning the life hacks, you could say, of the world, as well as applying them to my life, but also sharing them as I see fit and as I can, as much as I can, as kindly as I can without being egotistical or brutal or rude or any of those kind of things. And so my mental state now is very grounded. It is balanced. I am awake. I'll say that. I am very alive. I am very awake.
I think that on that note, you are not awake if you say that you're woke.
That
you are not awake if you say that you are woke.
If you say that you are woke.
No, it's a trend.
It's
straight up. You,
trend.
That just like goosebumps again.
Goosebumps. Oh, the goosebumps, everyone.
All right, but continue.
Oh, that's crazy. Yes, I am in a much more positive and uplifted and balanced state of mind. coming to know all the things I've learned about consciousness and energy and vibrations and health and wellness and understanding our divine purpose on Earth, understanding the connection with Earth, which brings me to like my whole veganism life. And all in all,
how long have you been vegan?
It has been a year and March, April, May, 3 months.
Nice.
A year and 3 months.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And that year also resonates with my year of being sober too.
Even more so, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that was the most pivotal point in my mental health journey.
Yeah.
I'll say. This day I had a really, really large and intense spiritual awakening. They come in different forms for different people at different times, and mine came when I was 22, right? Yeah. So, in the midst of this spiritual awakening, I came to a couple of realizations. One was about choice, about how everything is a choice. And the second one is about perspective and about how everything has a perspective. The issue tends to come in, per se, like arguments. People argue, they yell at each other, but it's because they're not willing to understand one another's perspective of whatever situation is going on. So your girl was just like, oh my gosh, perspective, like I view it this way, you view it this way, tomato, tomato, I see the shadow this way, you see the shadow that way. It's all intertwined and connected, especially with choices. I choose to look at it this way, or I choose to look at it that way, or all these other things. But in the midst of all that, I realized the toxic end results to a non-vegan life plus a life of drinking alcohol. Now, I say that from my experience, and I say that honestly and truthfully from the bottom of my heart, because, and I can get into this.
Yeah,
let's go. All right, here we go. So I stopped drinking alcohol for the reason of what it does is it lowers your vibration, and it does that on purpose. There is a scale of vibrations which range from like zero kind of to 700, 800, you could say. Zero is kind of like dead, but you get to 20. And at the bottom, you have feelings of shame, guilt, fear, just really low and grimy feelings that don't feel good. And y'all know exactly what I'm talking about because everyone has been through them and everyone's felt them. In the middle, you have like pride, there's anger. Anger is kind of in the middle because it's like half passionate, half like, oh my God. So there's a little bit of a balance and battle right there with that one. But then there's neutrality and acceptance and reasoning. And that's that state where you kind of like, you've been through some ish and now you're like, okay, where are we going now? What's up? You're kind of in this like numb feeling. You're just like the limbo part of Inception. That's kind of where you feel like. Above that, you have happiness and confidence, and eventually you get to the highest, which is unconditional love and bliss. But the thing is, people think that we start from the bottom and then we go to the top. And they put this in songs, they put this in t-shirts and all these things, that you start from the bottom and go to the top. That's completely wrong. It's the complete opposite way. Everyone is born on this planet with the vibration of unconditional love and bliss. And what happens is we go through so many life experiences and conditionings that lower our vibration, and then we think that that's where we're at and that's where we are. And then we think that feeling unconditional love is so far away from us that it's unattainable. When in reality, we were always like this, and you can always go back to it if you know how to get back to it and you know how to let certain things go, come to acceptance with things. You know, you got to go through all the motions.
No doubt. It's like, I was getting into it with I have few other friends that went to Sam, their sisters, basically, they kind of had the idea that, like, some people are born bad, some people are born good. And I never would agree with them on that. And to your point, like, everyone is born with that unconditional love. And from the moment you come out of the womb, your experience is formed, your thought process might.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I wish more people, I don't know if more people do think this way and they're scared to voice it, or if people just really think people are bad.
It's a mix of everything, honestly. I come across so many different perspectives.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, I kind of figure out how I need to talk to that person and what I need to give them to understand it at a certain level that is chill and neutral.
Definitely.
That way, if anything, like, I like to bring people out of the low vibration and at least get them to a point of, like, neutrality, and, like, what they do with themselves the rest of the way is totally up to them. Like, it's their path and whatnot, but, yeah.
So going back to that, how and why does alcohol lower these vibrations?
Right. So, if you drive around, you'll see liquor stores pretty much everywhere.
Right.
It's kind of pushed. Kind of like Starbucks. It's everywhere. It's kind of pushed. I could also say another thing, but I don't want to get too, like, I'm not going to. But.
Go ahead.
I mean,
what's the problem?
Oh, you're right. That's what this is. There's also, there's as many, like, churches on every corner as there are Starbucks. So, pushed.
Yeah, no doubt.
That,
no doubt.
Yeah. Just,
yeah.
If I had to choose one word, pushed.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah, right. So,
yeah.
But with, I'll go back to alcohol. If we would talk about that, we can't later.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Alcohol, its vibration only goes up until, like, on the scale, it only goes up until the prime.
Because
if you notice, like, you drink and then you feel so courageous, but it's very ego driven. And the 3D world that we live in is all ego driven, so alcohol keeps you in the state of 3D, which is third density, which is about control and separation at the same time, because alcohol separates you from your higher self and your highest being, your highest amount of intuition and clairvoyancy. It clogs it, and it makes you feel emotions that you feel like, you just feel crappy, like hangovers, like it's more than just like you're sick, because your body has undergone a lot of damage, honestly. You have taken in all these vibes, and back to the store. You see them all, they will have, like, the words on the stores. It'll be wine, it'll be beer, it'll be liquor, and it'll be spirits.
Yeah.
I'll pause on spirits. They tell you what's up from the get-go. What you do is you literally allow lower vibrational, and vibrations are everywhere. So when I say, like, lower vibrational, I mean, like, you can attract lower vibrational outside spiritual beings into you, because you kind of open this gateway portal for them.
Yeah.
You kind of have to view this as you're in a fairy tale land, and there's some witch's brew, and it feels amazing if you drink it, but it's witch's brew.
Right.
So what does the witch do?
Brew,
exactly.
Right.
Like, where does it come from?
Yeah.
What is the ultimate purpose of it?
Right.
To make you feel in this la-la land, away from your feelings. Because a lot of times, people drink a lot because they're avoiding their self. Their self. They're avoiding their feelings. They're avoiding something.
Fear of.
Exactly.
Reality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And your girl went through this. I drank so much in college, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know how I'm alive.
So what would you say to the people that say, no, I do have a lot of fun when I drink, and I have fun and I feel good? And because that's what they're going to do. They're going to.
No one's
going to come off and say, wow, they're opening up about alcohol. Maybe I should start to listen. They're gonna do the fuck are they talking about?
Right.
So how would you say someone could spot the difference, if they cared enough to actually search within themselves for the difference, but spot the difference between that false confidence, false ego-driven confidence, and being sober and understanding that that is what that was, and not, because while you're in that situation, you don't think that it's a false confidence. You feel like you're okay. You feel like you're the hottest thing out there.
Right.
So how do you decipher that before you make the change?
It lies within the little time frame of choice, I think. There's a moment where you feel like you want to go have fun.
Yep.
Because you're not having fun in the moment.
Right.
You're not enjoying the present moment. And so within that choice, you say, I have to go have a drink to go feel like this.
Yeah.
Now in that moment, are you on autopilot or are you gonna pause the game and be like, wait, why can't I have fun without it?
In a sense.
Because that was me. Like here's my personal experience. I associated fun with drinking because I was in school, I had the 8 a.m.s, I did academics on top of dancing intensely for hours on hours. And so I was stressed, and so I would go out with my friends and we would all drink and like dance and like live our best lives in a sense. And that was fun. And I say it's fun because that's how I felt. But I felt like, I graduated college and I got back to Dallas. And what I took with me was the habit of drinking. And I was like, I still need to go have fun in this, like, now I'm adulting. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
I don't understand. But I still gotta go have fun because it's the one thing, like, I know that I still can't do because my friends didn't come with me. The school didn't come with me. The classes didn't come with me. It was just me.
What did you do?
And my habits.
Yeah.
And so eventually I'd made myself so sick.
Yeah.
I saw it all. I had that pause moment. I had that choice moment where I looked at everything. Everything stopped. Everything went on pause. Everything slowed down. Everything went grayscale. I saw all the alcohol bottles in my room. I saw the yellowness in my skin. I saw the purple bags under my eyes. I saw the many bruises on my body. I saw like the skinniness of myself. I saw all of these things. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's alcohol. It's doing this to me. 2 days later, wild spiritual awakening. Completely stopped. That was it. I had that spirit weight. I stopped. I was like, this is the day that I stopped eating animals. This is the day that I stopped drinking. And it's been like that since March 3rd, a year ago, and some months. But it's about understanding, like, are you okay with yourself?
Yeah.
Can you challenge yourself to have fun with yourself without drinking? Do you have to rely on it? You just have to ask yourself questions at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise you're not going to get answers.
Exactly.
It's like on my way up here, I was listening to Nipsey. One of my favorite lines is, you're foolish to think that you're going to get something you never wanted. And I think that's one of the things that hinders people from making that transition that you made, especially so drastically, so quick, so like strong with it.
Yeah, like, I gotta say, I was kind of like,
you did that shit like
just click. Yeah.
Like from my POV, like I was watching, and it was like, it was probably like a space where it was like you were dark on social media, not dark from a personality perspective, but just like ghosted.
Right.
And, it went from dark from the personality perspective, from what you're in your sense, to now this superhero, like, I mean, it
right, yeah.
I don't think I know a single person from out of the transition, maybe my dad's veganism, I'm like, but that transition has been so strong and just so positive. From an inside and outside standpoint, like, people can change positively inside but still think that the world wants certain shit from them, and so they still put out certain shit, and they're putting out certain vibes and doing all that, and then they have a complex now because they're not being themselves.
Mm-hmm.
you flipped the script and you were like, fuck, I love myself.
Yeah.
Right? It was so awesome. And so that's, you know, that's not a lot of people are able to do that. Right. And like you said earlier, how you got rid of a lot of things, whether it was a good or a bad thing, it may have not been good for you to have during that transition, just because it may have caused, you know, triggers, and triggers can cause triggers, etc. But for you to be able to give up these things, who you were at that time, or who you wanted to be, not what you wanted to be, not what anyone else wanted you to be, not who anyone else wanted you to be, that's the thing that most people can't grab onto, is making themselves happy purely for the purpose of being happy.
And I mean, it's not like I went through this with like butterflies and rainbows and sunshine along the way. It was just the beginning to a lot. But it was just like maintaining my moral and my my baseline the whole entire time. Like, as long as I know like that's the base, then I'm cool.
Yeah. And like the little note. Is that a, what is that? You call it a shoestring tie?
Kinda. It's this little necklace. Okay, it's really cute.
Shoestring necklace.
Right. It actually is like a necklace, but I like the shoestring.
But what's that gem?
Oh, so what I wear around my neck is called an amethyst. And this is a crystal, and crystals have a lot of healing properties, and this one encourages your third eye, intuition, clairvoyance, as well as spiritual protection, boundaries kind of thing. Because I'm also a intuitive, from a spiritual standpoint, I'm an intuitive empath and intuitive clairvoyant. I'm also clairsentient and clairaudient, which is like, I have little baby superpowers of like hearing and seeing things for their truths. That's just what that is. Yeah. And so this little crystal kind of like, it's like my little, like, it's like a Pikachu.
It's like, it's okay. Yeah. I like that.
It's like a little Pikachu.
Okay.
But it's a purple crystal, so they keep
but it was something that I was about to run off with, but I don't remember it now.
I was actually going to say, because sometimes I'd be talking and I forget like what my point is of like where I'm going, but...
Yo, me too. It's because I get so passionate when I talk.
Me too.
Like, okay, so for instance, me and Sammy talked about this yesterday. When we had the football captains, like auditions, basically, we all had to go up and give a speech. And so I got up there and started crying in front of the whole team, all the coaches. It was like, I started talking, I was like, what's up, y'all know me, I'm Colin. I really want to be one of the captains because, you know, I feel like I push everybody, da 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 da. And then it went from the fact that I push people to I was like, I just care so much. And I started literally like started tearing up, and my coaches are in the back like, dude, cut it short. And I'm like, but that passion behind, you know, speaking is something that I'd rather someone go off the wall and start a whole nother conversation, but because they're passionate about it, then people just putting words into the atmosphere because they're trying to fill dead air.
Right. Come from your heart, people.
Exactly.
And your soul. No. But with alcohol, it keeps you in the middle of the scale of vibrations, and that's it. Like, you stay there, and you limit yourself from feeling unconditional love and bliss because you're forcing it upon yourself rather than letting it naturally happen to you. So that was the biggest thing as well.
Okay.
Also on the side of, it does damage your brain, and it can harm you depending on, like, how your body's set up, depending on if you're, deficient in certain things, it can really harm you.
I don't think people realize that alcoholism damage starts in the back of your head, and literally, day by day, the more you drink, it crawls to the front of your brain, forcing your frontal lobe to stop developing.
Mm. See?
Freshman in high school, or freshman in college, you get to college, you're 18, 19. You're not fully developed frontal cortex.
No,
frontal
not at all.
So you create habits that 6 months in, you could have it to where your frontal lobe does not grow for the next 5 years. And then people wonder, you know, like, even though this is kind of, it's a little different, the generational factor of it, I feel like, still plays a part. But it's like the last generation, their music was drug sellers, ours, drug users. So it's like,
next is like being it.
Mm-hmm. And so we, the sellers created the users via the environment that we were all in this country, I believe, pushed through, whether it was through music, television, teachers,
right.
Doesn't matter what it was, just our overall social just aspect of alcoholism. And what we don't call it, alcoholism.
Right.
Because we don't call it alcoholism when someone has a DWI or something like that.
Right.
Until then, it's just, oh, I'm enjoying an occasional drink. Well, okay, if you're enjoying an occasional drink, it's like I see now the people talking about driving accidents have gone up since, like, 0.04% since marijuana was legalized. And someone commented on that, and my response, I didn't really care what they said. I just wanted to see what they said and what I said. But I said, so how many of you and your friends, how many of you drink and drive? Mm. And of course, they don't want to answer it. And I said,
right.
And so I responded again, and I said, well, I just want you to tell every one of them how stupid they are every single time. Tell yourself how stupid you are right before you do it. You'll be drunk, and you'll probably not care.
Right.
But I want you to say that out loud so that, because now that it's weed, I feel like weed is the alcohol of the coping and all of that
mm-hmm.
shit that we've got. And because it is gaining medicinal properties, like the medicinal factor of marijuana, I feel like is the end of the prohibition of alcohol. So. Now that it's being, now that people are saying it has benefits and this and that, a lot of younger people are saying, I should be able to smoke weed because of ABCD. No, it still fucks with your brain.
Yeah, it still fucks
with
your brain.
You should not be 17 smoking weed, period.
Yep.
You shouldn't be any age smoking weed. If you are not happy without it, you don't need to live with it. That is, even I still struggle with that shit. Like, I'm like, that is the one thing. I go like 2 weeks at a time, like, not smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just, I'm like, oh, what the fuck am I not smoking for?
Right.
Like,
been there, doing
you know?
It. Yeah, still struggling to this day. But.
Literally. Like, it's like, what the fuck am I not smoking for? But, I mean,
it's different with weed for me because it's a, I have to view it as like a, not I have to view it, I view it as a spiritual medicine kind of thing. Because in certain ways, like, it's healing.
If you use, if you're open
if
up
you're,
here.
Yeah, that. Like you have to be ready for it.
No doubt.
For it.
No doubt. It's almost, as much as I don't consider it a drug, it's almost like preparing for a trip.
Right.
Like, if you're gonna trip on something, you wanna be clear headed, like you wanna be happy before you do, you know? Like
right.
People don't say, I mean some people do because it's the coping methods, but
mm-hmm.
you know, can I get a to go box? Yeah, no, oh no, you can get a to go box.
Yeah, you can.
This stopped somehow sometime. But it's like,
oh.
Yeah, appreciate that. And then,
oh, thank you. Sorry.
Either one. But, yeah, no, so, So, like, with the coping and with the... Oh, shit, they might be frozen, that's why.
Oh, they are.
We go outside. Yeah. Too many people cope rather than let it be a...
Oh, you're so cute.
What did he say?
I think he said you're so cute. Is that what he said? I think so. That's what he said. He said you're so cute.
I'm sure that's what he said.
Aw. That's
not
cute.
But, yeah, no, so it's like... Now it's becoming a coping thing rather than just an accessory. Like, for instance, the Rasta mentality. Like,
right.
That is what I see in shit. Mentally, you should be in that kind of space to truly reap the benefits of it.
Yes. And like, if not, I feel like, honestly, the universe and spirit, whatever you believe in, does it for you. Like, if you use it wrong, they're going to be like, okay, well, it's going to use you wrong. You know, like,
no doubt.
It's back and forth like that. The energy you put out is the energy you get back.
Definitely.
Outside is always a reflection of your inside. Life note.
Yeah, like, people with all kinds of bumps and stuff on their skin and fucking, they're like, they're sitting here eating. You eat fast food every day, and you mean to tell me that you don't... Well, one... A lot of people don't know what the word carcinogen is.
Right. No, seriously, a lot of people don't. And it's crazy that whoever they is does this to us.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Because they know, like, and that's the thing. I know these things that they know. And so...
Yes. there's I don't even know why I'm going to put this name in my mouth right now, but the Rothschild family owns, like, what, 70% of the gold in the world?
I mean,
70% of the gold in the world. There was a quote, one of the Rothschild, one of the wives a while back.
Don't
come after me. I see the stuff on the internet, right? So, I think it was either before World War II or right after, and they were kind of talking about World War III and the smaller wars that were happening in, like, the Middle Eastern countries and stuff like that. And she said, her exact words, from what I remember reading, was, if the Rothschild family doesn't want there to be a war, there will be no war. Goosebumps.
See.
And so when you're talking about war, you're talking about millions of lives, people really have the audacity to believe that the food put in front of them is not done for control purposes.
Oh my gosh.
Yo, ignorance is bliss, but it also gets you killed early.
Yeah, absolutely. Which brings me to food. Because, I mean, like, alcohol is just as bad as food. Some food is just as bad as alcohol. Because it all has the same underlying purpose of keeping you at a low vibration. Like, that's the thing. Like, at the end of the day, all of these things, like, all the choices I've made have been to literally raise my vibration. Like, I'm trying to feel unconditional love and bliss every day. You know, like, why not? Like, who doesn't want to feel like that? And if you don't want to feel like that, then you're dealing with some stuff that you got to heal, honestly. And I'm going to put it like that. Because it is the most beautiful and literally blissful feeling ever. And to be able to feel that naturally is empowering. It is enlightening. It is inspiring to others. I am consistently getting told of how inspiring I am to kids, to random strangers, to friends. Like, and it's literally because I am portraying unconditional love and bliss. Like, that is my ultimate purpose, to share it with myself, to share it with everyone. And so at the end of the day, like, I'm saying all of this to aid, to help, to heal, all of that. But the food, they want to keep you at a low vibration, which is why they feed you and they force so many, like, animal products. Yeah, force. Hello, push.
Yeah.
Force. anal products and sugar and bleached things and things with citric acid in it. And guess what? Fun fact, the citric acid that's in every single label almost that you might have in your pantry, it is mold. Citric acid is mold. It is not from a nice cute lemon, okay? You think Kellogg's had nice cute lemons laying around, they're gonna put, I'm gonna put the citric acid in here and these little cereal things. No. It is mold. It keeps it quote unquote fresh. But that freshness is also the equivalent to the toxins that is floating around your body. So that's what I gotta say with that part. But once you understand that certain like fruits and vegetables have an electromagnetic like frequency around them and in them, and you ingest them, you start to feel those same feelings. Yeah. That's why people, when they eat a salad, they're like, oh, I feel good. I feel light. You notice how every Christmas dinner, every turkey dinner, everyone feels so like, it's because you literally just, A, you indulge the low vibrations of the turkey you just ate, because when these animals are killed, they are killed with a very low vibration because they are tortured. Like, you have to put it in your perspective. Like, if you were being tortured, like, you're not going to be happy. You're going to be scared shitless. You're going to be terrified. You are going to feel the lowest vibration that you have ever felt because you are in such a high amount of fear, which is the ultimate, like, no. Like, no fear. None.
Fear makes you move slow.
Fear takes you down. Fear, it just no. Fear equals no.
Period.
But, you take in those feelings of that animal when you do eat them. So that's the other part that people aren't as aware of. And it's like, yeah, it's about the animals. It's about not killing what exists with us on this earth that we are given and that we're blessed to be on. But it's about understanding that everything is still vibration. Yeah, everything is still energy. And when you are consuming the negative energy of the animal, you are consuming that, and you're going to feel that later. So.
You know what's crazy about that is?
What?
So I'm probably like, I would say I'm about 85%, between 80 and 85% whole food, not whole food, but plant-based, everything, even like products and stuff.
Right, everything, yeah.
So, what gets me convenience and the fact that I don't want to lose a lot of muscle. So it's like, what'll happen is when I snack well, when I prepare to snack well, I don't have any issues. Everything's great. But when I don't, what happens? I pull into Chicken Express or something like that, and I probably have like, this week I haven't had it at all. Last week I had Chicken Express on like Friday. Probably around 2-3 o'clock. I had to coach a class at 6. By the time I got to that 6 o'clock class, I was like, dude, I just want to go home. I was like, I just want to go home. I'm done. I wasn't tired. I was just, it's so foreign to me now that it's when you realize that it's more than just food.
Yeah.
It's when you realize that and you're conscious about it, and you then say, you stop just saying, oh, my stomach hurts. Like, no, it's not just your stomach hurts. Like,
right.
You are digesting every negative feeling that was just put in you that animal was killed with. So, no, that is a... That's something that I've been pushing that super heavy.
Okay, let's see. All right, we're good. All right, we just had to move outside real quick. But, so let's talk about dance a little bit.
Dance! I love dance. So...
How long have you been dancing?
Well, I started when I was 2. I don't really remember much because, you know, I was young.
Right.
But then I paused for a little bit, tried to play soccer. It didn't turn out too well. Not a sportsy person. If I apply myself, really, maybe, but it just was not working out at the time. Then I got back into ballet at age 11. Did that for 2 years, then went to Booker T. Washington High School for the performing and visual arts.
Nice.
And really started, like, dancing. I did different little summer intensives here and there. I went to San Francisco, Alonzo King Lines Ballet. That was, like, the most beautiful experience ever. Then I went to Dance Theater of Harlem in Harlem, New York City. Another summer, trained with them, which is, like, more point work, more ballet than anything. They were all ballet, but anyway. And then I went to college for dance. And it's not an easy major because you really have to love what you're doing to be a dancer and have that be, like, your life. Or have dance literally be your life. But it has turned into one of the most beautiful pathways with so many different options because I'm not just a dancer. I am a teacher. I am a student. I am a choreographer. I am a creator. I am a just overall artist. Like, it's branched out into all these different things that now make up who I am. And my journey has led me to falling in love with improvisation.
Okay.
And that happened because it's the most free thing that you can do, in a sense, to walk down the street and just dance and just listen to music and just, like, live your entire best life. Like, not only do you inspire other people to just, like, live their best life, but you are feeling free. You're feeling that unconditional love for yourself. You're feeling that state of bliss. Like,
yeah.
It's the gateway for me to feel good, especially if I'm, like, low down in any sort of emotion. What do? I dance it out because that's how I know that it'll get out of my body.
Right.
Because emotions are just energies and motions, and so what am I going to do with those energies that are just, like, floating around? I'm going to get them out if I need to. I'll listen to music that, if I really am angry.
Yeah.
Boy, while I listen to some Eminem, like, I will go in and
yeah.
I will, like, I have so many days where now I have, like, these training days with myself where I go to the lake and it's just me and my headphones and music and nature and I just go in. Whatever I gotta get out, I get out. A lot of times I do this, like, shuffle game where whatever song plays, I'm meant to hear it and that's the emotion that I'm meant to release out. And so that's
okay.
What I'll do. So dance is a form of healing. It's a form of expression. It's a form of, it's a hobby for some, but in those moments, like, because I am a dance teacher, like, some kids, like, they're just there for the recreational effect. Some
right.
kids are there and they love it. Some kids are there because their parents want them there. But my goal is just to make them feel the benefits from it no matter what.
No doubt. So
you don't have to want to be a professional dancer. You don't have to want to be a choreographer or anything, but you can at least feel those.
That's what everything in America misses is we promote, like we talked about earlier, people doing things to get to that finish,
mm-hmm.
not doing it
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
reap the benefits of everything else that comes with it besides finishing. Like, I learned so much through football, so many great experiences, but the pressure of getting to the league held me back from learning so many more.
Right.
Because my focus, like, man, I tell you, if there was a third eye, like, physically on our heads and we could see that shit, mine would have been a football. And it would have, like...
Right.
Damn, that's crazy. That's nuts. And, you know, a reason that I wanted to have the wonderful Aloria on is because I love
yeah.
our conversations. And every time we talk, I just get fucking mind blown. And I go into this, like, weak phase where I just try to fucking flip the script or push the script a little bit harder, whichever way I need to be moving. But, like, influence. Another thing.
Love.
If you had, like, a bio walking by your head, like, if people saw a bio of you, yeah, that shit would say, Like, some people's, like, if they could fake it, I guess they would put social media influencer and shit like that. Your shit would fucking say life influencer, and I fucking do this shit. Like,
like, and I do this.
I do this, like, straight up, like, life influencer. I was just thinking about that the other day. I was like, man, I'm going to put that shit in my bio. Life influencer, life greater influencer. Than social media influencer, just some shit like that. But
right.
Nah, you definitely have a gift that, shit, whether it's through dance, words, I mean, fucking photography, picture, I don't know, don't care what it is. I mean, you have a serious gift of...
Thank you, though.
Fucking getting people to move, like, but you, and then, like you said, that energy, emotions are all energy, and it's what you do with it after you spot it that matters. So you promote people, whether it's via you saying it or not, getting that energy and transmitting it in a positive way, no matter what the emotion is.
Exactly.
So, like, for me, when I get mad, I'm like, okay, how do I flip this and turn it into me being, I mean, I don't have to be happy, but mm-hmm. be progressive.
Right. That's what I do. Like, my favorite, it's honestly, like, all these emotions in dance, it's a game.
Yeah.
It's a whole game. Because, like, when I'm angry, I'm like, ooh, I'm angry.
Yeah.
What do I get to listen to, you know?
Right.
How do I get to dance? What am I working on? Normally, I go straight into, like, more hip-hop movement, more, like, really masculine, like,
yeah.
just, like, boom, like, lock muscles,
yeah.
pop them, get it going. And then I realize I'm training myself
right.
at the same time. So I'm, like, hitting, I don't like to say two birds, one stone, because I'm vegan and I like animals.
Yeah.
I love animals.
You're laying two bricks with one swipe of clay.
Yeah, there we go.
Some shit.
Can't blow my house down.
Can't blow my house down. Nah, yeah, but, that's, and you're already working with so many younger kids like that. That's what I want to eventually be doing is working with a lot of younger athletes so that they don't have that finish in mind. Like,
right.
You should just constantly be learning. Wake up happy that you get to go to practice.
Mm-hmm.
You get to go through this day and learn. Like,
learning.
Learning.
Learning is amazing.
It is. It's the one of the best things that I've ever experienced. And one of the worst things I've ever experienced is being told how to learn or what to learn.
Right.
So.
Yes, that. Pushed.
It's like pushed. Pushed.
Pushed.
I'm going to name this damn episode
Pushed. Pushed, yeah.
Shit. Golly.
Oh, my God.
That word makes me want to start a whole another podcast series
right.
called Pushed.
Pushed.
Damn. But. Yeah, I just. The people older than us don't have the same message we have because they might have went through it, they might not have, but what was pushed to them, a lot of them accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I look at my family and I'm like, it's awesome that we all love each other.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's so much fucked up shit that happens that is preventable. That's the thing, is preventing unnecessary stresses that fall on each other, because it's like, I don't really care for people's opinions too much. I
right.
care for solutions.
Right.
So if you can give me a solution, you can say, here's a plan of action, A, B, C, and then, you know, we may get to whatever this finished thing is, you know, but having a plan of action, don't come to me with, the whys, the how. Like, don't ask me how something needs to work if there's a problem and you don't have a solution in mind. You don't really want to hear my solution. You just want to tell me how bad you think my idea is.
Right.
That I think that was, whenever we saw it, met last time, that was what my, I would argue with my family. So now, it's uncomfortable because y'all are realizing, oh, Colin went through all the same shit, if not worse than Mariah. But because he's the boy and was the firstborn, instead of coddling, I didn't want to be coddled, but I would have rather people been like, yo, let's fucking make shit happen. My dad was all about making shit happen. Everybody else was like, that man drinking 40 rolling down the street with his windows down.
Oof.
Low see, vibrations.
See? That. Exactly that.
But it was just like, if you all would have taken the time to take 3 months and tried to guide me in a way that, you know, I'm not fuck the world, then it would have been a lot different, and I would have had a different outlook on the situation of her pregnancy, because I wouldn't be thinking that y'all basically, you know, were negligent in the fact that you need to be on a young adult's ass.
Right.
So it caused lots of arguments and me saying some crazy shit. Every time I think about that, like, 4 month span, and I was drinking as much alcohol as I was breathing in oxygen. That's what really did it, I think, is it kept me in that space instead of moving forward in that progressive manner that I promote now. But yeah,
it's a good reflection, though. I mean, I always reflect on those moments where, like, I was just not having it, and like,
yeah,
emotions just so low, and so much alcohol, and knowing what I'm doing, like, knowing that I feel like this, and knowing that, like, to say, like, man, I feel shitty, well, I'm gonna go drink and feel shittier, like,
yeah,
to say that,
feel shittier, yeah,
and to be confident in saying that, like, that's like, ooh, girl, ooh, honey. But, I mean, that's why I chose to, like, I just chose to stop feeling like that. And also, the last day that I drank, I was feeling good. I had a really great day. I was around all my friends. Like, I went back to Huntsville to see all my friends and see them perform. And I went to, like, margaritas or something.
Yeah.
And I got a margarita. Because I, you know, I love
what you do.
What
if you ever in Huntsville, you know that's what you do.
Right. Like, that's what it is. And I remember feeling so shitty afterwards. And I was like, I just felt better. And I thought I was going to feel, I was going to feel funner. I thought I was going to have more fun. I thought I was going to feel great with this cute little raspberry, like, margarita in my hand. And I ended up feeling so crappy afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, so bad. And then it happened again with, like, something else. I don't know. But I was like, it's not doing anything anymore. Like, I grew out of it. Realized it, and then I stopped.
Grew out of it.
Mm-hmm. And I think people grow out of it.
Get out of it.
I grew out of it. And I think when people try to get out of it, they relapse.
100%. That's real. Yep. Going through things and growing through things, as cliche as that shit.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, shit is cliche for a reason.
Yeah.
When shit is tried and true, like, I'll go with tried and true any day over faking shit till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah. Faking it until you make it is, like, I don't understand why that is.
I'm not even going to get into that right now because
yeah, I feel like that's a lot. I feel like you have a strong one on that one.
Shit. I mean, we gonna have to do a whole nother fucking episode. We're already on, like,
right
minute, what is this, minute 40 or something?
40? Yeah, I gotta leave in, like,
yeah, no,
nah,
we gonna have to. Alright, so let's have a little outro period here.
Okay, let's do this.
So if you had one piece of advice to give anyone, no, just anyone, that's, we'll start off with the veganism. If you have any advice for someone that is wanting to go vegan or learn more about veganism, what would that advice be?
I would watch Hungry for Change, for one thing. Sometimes when you watch something visually, like,
yeah,
it sinks in harder.
I haven't seen that one.
It broke some stuff down for me. And there's other ones that I do not know off the top of my head. head right now, but I can post those. I can make a little list.
Do that. Yeah, make sure y'all follow her. Go ahead and tell them your name on IG one more time.
Aloria, A-L-L-O-R-H-I-A.
I had to make you say it because I didn't want to put the H in the R.
Right, yeah, no, it gets confusing. I didn't know how to spell my middle name until I was like 11, honestly.
But, okay.
But no, I would totally watch that. It puts a lot of good things into perspective. I would start to intake more fruits and vegetables and watch yourself and feel yourself change, because eventually your body is going to start rejecting what has been like in habitat, I guess, within your body, because you're used to it, you're comfortable to certain things.
Right.
But once you take a pause from it and then you try and go back, your body's like, oh no, you finally gave us a break, like, don't do this again. We're gonna show you, like, please stop.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Your body is the most beautiful temple ever, and it's smart. It is so smart. Like, my body is smart. Gosh, it tells me what's wrong every single time. Like, the moment I do something like wrong, like eating wise, like, you go. I'll show you what you just did to me, girl.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm sorry. I'll go drink some more green juice. And take more greens overall. And green juices. Back.
Let's see over here.
I should not be fearful at all. But like, I also like to be
fearful.
I don't know.
Well, I've never been stung by one, and I don't want to find out if I'm allergic.
Gotcha. You know, there's
someone
telling me
what we're talking about. Yeah, that's not good.
So, fun fact, sometimes animals have, you know, spiritual meanings. Trying to tell you stuff, and so you will be trying to tell me something. I'll figure it out later. Hello. Live your best life if you don't think. Thank you.
So what's been your biggest, what is your biggest motivator? We'll end on that. What is your biggest motivator? Is it inside? Is it outside? Is it something that you had to instill in yourself, or something that you caught on to someone somewhere? Because, like, for instance, for me, my biggest motivator, a lot of people would look at it like I'm afraid of people thinking I failed, but that's not what it is. It's I'm not afraid to fail at all. I'm more afraid of failing 100 times and then giving up and people saying that I gave up.
Right.
This bee is not trying to bounce.
Okay.
There we go. Okay, so.
I know what my biggest motivator is.
What's your biggest motivator?
I also have a thing with the word motivation and inspiration.
Okay.
I think sometimes, I've come to realize, like, when I'm motivated to do something, it's because I'm not accepting of, like, where I am in the moment.
Yeah.
Rather than being inspired by something where it's like, I am here and I can grow and I can get better. So for me, I'm motivated, but I'm most inspired by myself, because not everyone has, like, a sunshiny childhood. Mine was kind of tough. My parents got divorced when I was 8. I had to grow up really fast. I had to be mom of the house. I had to be the woman. I had to take care of my brother at a really crappy daycare where they treated us horribly. I had to deal with me and being emotionally abused by my mom, in which we're healed now and everything's good.
Yeah.
It's fine. But like, this is what happened. Like, I was emotionally abused for a very long time. I cried so much when I was younger. I dealt with so many feelings, and I was just like, and I don't know what's going on with myself, but I look back on my childhood, my life, and I'm like, I deserve to have a very successful and happy life.
I like that.
After what I have, and I mean, like, even college, like, looking back at that, like, I didn't get a degree to be a doctor and, like, secure myself or anything like that, like, no offense, but, like, that's just not my path, so, and because my path is very independent, creative, it is just my duty to succeed and to show that you can choose a life like this and make it to be great and fantastic.
Right.
So I deserve it. I am inspired by my 8-year-old self. Because when I was 8, I had to change really fast.
Yeah.
And I had to kind of like go through more childlike healing things and heal my inner child throughout all this time, these years. So I do it for my 8-year-old self.
That's awesome. I bet your 8-year-old self is saying thank you.
I mean, I could cry right. I probably will later after this conversation.
Wow, this is awesome. Yeah. So, all right, well, we'll go ahead and cut it there because I know we both will.
Yeah, we just doing a podcast right now. Yeah, I think they closed at 3.
I think they opened back up at 5.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. we're gonna have to do a few more of these because we barely even.
Like,
shit,
we dipped toes
now. We dipped toes in the kiddie pool and then decided, all right, you know what, we're gonna go get some towels because we're gonna be back in this bitch swimming laps,
right?
So this is episode 3 of What's the Problem with the wonderful, the beautiful Aloria. Make sure that y'all follow her on Instagram at @AlloraHia.
Yeah.
And you know where to find me, gassedupandpassedup.life. Y'all got any questions? Y'all want to see anyone else on the podcast? Leave comments. Go listen on Spotify and Apple. Come check out Vegan Food House, established in 2019. That's awesome. So
beautiful.
Come check it out down here in Dallas on 7th Street. But yeah, so Aloria, thank you so very much.
Thank you so very much.
This was
much.
A beautiful conversation. I needed this.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Much so. Needed. Very divinely put in our lives.
Very much so. All right, y'all have a great week. Be back with y'all later. Gassed Up, we out.